I mean, you guys are in for a show. Lauren is amazing. And what we talked about was cultural differences, cultural intelligence, and what that actually means, and how this intertwines with personal growth, and how you can be a better leader if you have cultural intelligence. No, really, this was a really good conversation. It was really impactful. It really shifted my mind on a few things. And I think it will do that for you too. So check it out. Don't miss it. What's up, y'all? I'm always dancing when that song comes on. But thank you guys so much for joining. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Thank you guys so much for joining and always being a part of this amazing community. Now, you guys have killed it. I'm over 100,000 downloads because of you, and the community just keeps growing and growing. You guys are killing it. We are on listening notes, like the top 1% podcast to listen to in the country. I am really honored by that. And because of you and all of these amazing human beings that we find to bring on this show is what makes it happen. And today I got a good one for y'all. Y'all better go ahead and buckle up. All right, because I got somebody who I have truly enjoyed talking to, and we're going to dive deep into the journey that intertwines personal growth and cultural intelligence. And our guest is none other than the remarkable Lauren. She's a trailblazer whose life story transcends borders and transforms lives. Now, for over two decades, Lauren has globetrotted as the people strategist, mastering the art of human resources, leadership coaching, and change management. But beyond her professional feats, Lauren's quest has been to be a profound place of self-discovery and human connection. So, facing all these pivotal moments, this girl is killing it, okay? She has a groundbreaking book, Becoming the Change, A Power of Cultural Intelligence. And I cannot wait to get into this conversation. So, y'all, let's do it. What's up, Lauren? Welcome
what
to Straight
Talk.
What
is up, Nina? Thank you so much for having me today. You are truly fantastic. And I'm here to, I'm happy to be here with you.
You're here too. I can't wait to get into this. I've been so looking forward to this conversation. So I'm really glad you're here, Lauren. So I always do this thing where off the gate, I really want to get deeper into knowing who you are. So my first question is, who are you? Who are you, Lauren? Tell us.
Me, Lauren, I am whole. I am all of the above. Just like you see on my background, that's me. That's how I think. I'm all over the place. I'm a hot mess many times, but I am just whole.
I love it. Oh my God, what a great answer. I don't think I've had somebody say that to me yet. I love it. Good. So tell me about this place about all over the place and feeling whole, right? Because it's interesting because those are kind of like a competing things, right? All over the place and feeling whole, right? So talk to me about where that comes from. Like, why all over the place? You know, was that always something that you dealt with? Was, you know, is this something you just accepted? This is you and you're good with it? Like, talk to me about that.
That's such a great question because it is something that I struggle with all throughout at least my early years, right? Mm-hmm. And I just learned to embrace that part of me recently, within the last, I would say, decade. I used to think that my all-overness, right, was a curse because mm-hmm. I am dichotomous in that way. I'm highly curious and interested in everything, especially when it comes to leadership and just being your best and developing others. So I've always been curious about that and helping others, you know, do better, be better. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had a huge responsibility to do that, particularly because, you know, the road was really paved by my parents, my family, and all my mentors along the way. But it wasn't until, you know, I would say the last decade where I learned to embrace that cuckoo Lauren, if you will, right? Because I'm very curious, I tend to be interested in so many things that sometimes have nothing to do with each other, but do come together nicely, particularly in leading and coaching others. And so, yeah, I like to say that I'm whole because embracing that was really mm-hmm. when I discovered my superpower, right? That just because I think that way, I am that way, I believe in that, that doesn't mean I'm incomplete. If anything, that is my superpower.
I love it. I freaking love that. And so many things of what you said is exactly my journey. I remember being young and I had a first grade teacher because I couldn't really focus, right? Now I know I have ADHD. I didn't know that. Back then you weren't diagnosed with those things. You were just called an idiot or whatever, and you know, you dealt with it. But I never forget, you know, being that I had such a tumultuous upbringing, I would be with my mother half the year and then my grandmother half the year. So these were two different schools and I'm going back and forth. And on top of that, I couldn't concentrate. So I remember my first grade teacher saying, "Are you stupid?" I said to her, "I'm not stupid." She goes, like, I don't know. That stuck with me as a little girl. I was like 6 years old, I think, or first grade is like 6 years old. That really stuck with me most of my life. I always felt stupid, right? And I'm not really. I realized that going back to college as an adult, I went back and I had a 4.2 or 4.5 GPA. I was the valedictorian. I straight A's, straight A pluses. Like, I'm actually not an idiot, right? And not that I needed to prove that to her, but when somebody does that, where if you're somebody who's artistic, or somebody who's, you know, a little bit more eccentric, or somebody automatically you're labeled things or called things, right? And I love that you said, it took me some time, but I finally embraced my superpower, right? And I agree with that 1,000%, because that happened to me in the last few years too, where I said, you know what? I am high energy. I am all over the place. I do have 20 projects going on. This is who I am. And I also like to please people. Like, I like people to feel welcomed and loved and wanted. And I used to think that was a bad thing, like you. But now I think that is a superpower because it helps me be me. And once you accept that, Lauren, it's another level, isn't it? It's another level.
Oh, I am unapologetically me. I mean, what you see is what you get, right?
Right.
And to your point, that one teacher can make such an impact in your life. I remember, you know, my parents hated report card time. My father hated going to school and speaking to the teacher because it was like the same script every single year. She's always daydreaming. She's always inattentive. You know, she's not interested, right? Because it was boring.
Right.
It wasn't interesting to me.
That's right.
And once I figured out what does move the needle for me, what does create little buzzes, you know, in my head and my brain, I literally did not look back. I started looking for more of that. Yeah. And there's so many people out there that can relate because, you know, we have ADHD, right? Mm-hmm. But there's others that have different needs.
Yeah.
And the world wants to fit us into a particular mold, a particular label. And that's not reality.
No, it's not. And, you know, it's interesting because even as adults, and you probably have this experience too, people still want to label you and put you in different boxes, right? Because I'm Latina, I have to think like this, or I have to act like this, or I have to, you know, have this kind of view. And I'm like, but I don't think like that. I actually think like this. And they're like, what? How dare you? How dare I? Yes. How dare I? Yes. You know, like, to me, it's like amazing because, like you just said, I don't want to be in a box, and I'm a lot like you. I think we're sisters from another, you know, mother or something like that, because everything you said, I'm like, yep. And, you know, one of the things that really, you know, I'm very curious. So like I said, when me and you were speaking, is I don't preempt you with questions, right? Because I want you to, and me to have this conversation that banters back and forth, that we can actually get to know each other. And I think that's why the podcast is doing so well, because I don't like, okay, Lauren, tell me about your number one. You know, I'm not a robot. I don't work that way. And every time I've even done talks on stages, anytime I've ever done any kind of events, like I was asked to go to Dominican Republic to speak to a woman's, you know, event. And I didn't have a script. I don't. That's not how I work. To your point, Lauren, you know, I love the individuality. So I wanted to talk to you because I know that last time we spoke, we talked about cultural intelligence and how personal growth intertwines with cultural intelligence. And so I really wanted you, first of all, to break down cultural intelligence for us and how that can help us to grow.
Sure. Putting it simply, cultural intelligence is a framework. It's a framework that includes four capabilities. Mm. And these four capabilities help you adapt, navigate, and really behave effectively within diverse environments. Originally, it was intended for the global landscape, right? For people who were either expats or people who were either exchange students, international business students, and that type of business environment where people were continuously being exposed to different cultures when it came to national origin or ethnicity. And it has expanded so much over the years because of globalization, right? Look, we are here. We are not in the same state or in the same room. We are in different states. And we have this wonderful tool called technology that allows us to connect with people from all over the world at any time. And so this framework really provides people with tools and really capabilities to help you do that. It sounds simple, but it isn't. I am a testament to that. And it's the reason why I'm so passionate about it, because it's the one tool that I can see and have seen and witnessed really has a profound impact on us, on our self-leadership, and the way we lead others, whether at home or at work, right? But it starts with us. And in simple terms, that's what cultural intelligence is.
How does that provide then, you think, personal growth for not just us personally, but for the team, right? Like cultural intelligence, because you're in leadership, I am assuming that you're talking about mostly about this being in a leadership role or in a corporate setting or in some sort of setting where there's a group of people working for a company or something, right?
Yes.
So talk to me about, like, especially if there, because a lot of CEOs, leaders, things like that, management listen to the show. So talk to me about personal growth. How does that help them grow as people and help the organization or the group of the people there grow?
It helps leaders because it forces you to focus on yourself first. What do I mean by that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. These four capabilities, CQ drive, CQ motivation, CQ action, and CQ strategy, they force you to understand your cultural values first and how they influence your approach to work.
Okay.
And these cultural values, for example, our perception of time. That's a big one, right? And these cultural values are not only influenced by our geographic location. They're also influenced by our lived experiences.
Right.
And so
right.
One of the biggest misconceptions is that cultural values are shaped by your national origin, your ethnicity, or your race. And that can't be further from the truth, right? There are different components of your lived experience that impact what you value most,
so
your
good.
Cultural values.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And using the example of time, if I, as a leader, have a value that is oriented to a certain perception of time, and I'm leading people who have an opposite orientation, what they call time orientation, then I am going to be more biased in how I perceive and how I approach time when leading others, whether it's showing up to meetings on time, whether it's managing projects and navigating project deadline, whether it's, you know, speaking out of turn or in turn. So these are all examples of how our cultural values shape and impact the way we approach many things in life, specifically and importantly, work in our work environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we can't lead others if we don't lead ourselves, right? And
okay.
So it starts there. It mm-hmm. starts with that CQ knowledge, understanding what it is that impacts my approach to work. Mm-hmm. And then how do I activate that in a way that helps me develop and motivate others? There goes that drive and motivation, so that I can strategize differently along the way. Notice how I haven't mentioned anything about change, It doesn't mean that I have had to change my approach to time or change how I value or I perceive time. But what it does is that it gives me the understanding that I need in order to manage others who are different.
Right. Okay. Okay. I get that. And that actually makes a lot of sense, right? And it always does start with you. It always does start with you, right? I've been a leader for many, many years, right? And director and leader and blah, 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 and CEO, the whole thing. So it is true that it starts with you. It starts with you. It ends with you, people. I know that you want to just blame this one that didn't do that. But at the end of the day, all the fingers point back at you. So give me an example of maybe an organization you've worked with or people you work with when it comes to this perception of time. Let's just use this one since that's the example. When you are someone who, let's say, has a perception of, you know, this needs to be done at this time, at this, you know, this is the timeline, this is the whatever, but you're working with someone who maybe doesn't have that same maybe time urgency, if that's a thing, right? Or, you know, or respect for time. I don't know if it's called respect or just perception of that time. So how do you deal with that as a manager or a leader when you know things still have to get done, right? So just because this person's time, it looks different to them, or they maybe structure it differently in their life, doesn't mean that can always be the case for a specific thing that needs to happen for an organization. Does that question make sense? What's up, y'all? It's Nina here. I recently stumbled across this little thing and this absolute game changer for me. And I just had to share it with you because, hello, you know, I'd be sharing my stuff with y'all, right? This is called Magic Mind. And this little tiny elixir, y'all, this thing, okay, it's empty because Nina be drinking it, okay? This little elixir has been like my little secret weapon, and it's packed with powerful ingredients like adaptogens and nootropics and matcha. I mean, this little thing is like magic for real, okay? I've really noticed the difference. It has really helped me with my level of laser focus and productivity and reaching my goals for the day. And for someone like me who's all about living my life with intention and purpose, this is priceless. All right, this is priceless. I am totally going to recommend this to you. And you guys know I recommend only things I love and trust. Here's the best part. Magic Mind is amazing. And they have a link for you, magicmind.com/straighttalk. You can use that special discount, Straight Talk 20. It only has one T, Straight Talk 20, to get 20% off of your first time purchase for the next 10 days. If you apply that code, you are going to get up to 50% off. So head over to magicmind.com/straighttalk. Your future self is going to thank you for it, and it's going to thank me.
Do you get that? It does make perfect sense. And it's a fantastic question because that's the big conundrum, right?
Yeah.
And I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying this. It does not excuse anyone from accountability.
Right. Okay. I love that. Yeah.
Your cultural value preferences don't excuse you from accountability. Everyone has an accountability for something or someone.
Right.
So understanding this doesn't mean that the person, just because someone's time orientation is different, doesn't mean that they don't value time.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm. So the continuum is this. So let's use the time orientation for the sake of using the same example, right? I have a very linear perspective of time. I'm monochronic, and even though I can do many, many things, to me, time is money. And so it's very important to start on time. It's very important to end on time and being very mindful and respectful of other people's time. That for me, that's you know, that's a big gremlin of mine. Yes, leading others who were completely opposite, whose time orientation was more what's called polychronic, where starting at 4 could probably mean they start at 4:10 and 4:15, or even if you show up at 4, you're talking about your children and what you did this weekend, and Latinos are very, we are very, very, very polychronic.
Yes, girl.
Perspective, we are polys, okay? We value that polychronic chronic perspective, but it's so because we value other things that take priority. For example, we value the relationship. Right? To us, time is something you use to cultivate relationships or to cultivate something. It's not money. Money comes from other different interactions and exchanges, right? So this happened to me so many times, especially when I was working with Latin America, where, you know, I'd be sitting there and like, you know, almost getting tachycardia when it's like 10 past, 15 past.
And I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
And, you know, when I learned about cultural intelligence, this is why it was so powerful. All of a sudden, I understood that that was not personal.
Right.
Number two, that I had to create cushions. Cushions to allow people who had that type of orientation towards time and who valued the exchange more, I would create cushions to allow people to do that. So I'm in turn honoring my perspective of time, right? We're still getting things done, but still allowing those cushions to meet their needs as well. And so that's where, you know, I've seen the biggest, one of the biggest impacts in the power of cultural intelligence, because I didn't change anyone's approach. I didn't change mine. I simply adapted without sacrificing my own authenticity. So complementing that with other things such as, you know, communication and transparency, we would navigate kind of that song and dance as, you know, as we work together. Okay, this is the deadline for this, but then I would create cushions to check in on the progress, right? To check in, not to micromanage, but to really check in on how they were doing and kind of nudging along the way that this is important.
Yeah, that's really good, Lauren. I mean, it's funny. I laugh with you because it's true, right? I mean, I'm Puerto Rican. My family's the same way. We would always say, you know, make sure you invite Auntie, I don't want to say her name, blank, at, you know, 30 minutes earlier because you know she's going to come in late and we don't want it to be late. We don't want everybody stressed out. Just tell her it's this time. And everybody kind of just knew we're going to tell her it's this time. Okay. Yes. Okay, good. But you know what? As you're talking, it makes a lot of sense because as we did that, we realized the stress level was off because we knew that the time was 5 o'clock. We had to leave, but we would tell her 4:30. So she would always show up 4:45, right? 4:50, right?
Exactly.
But we weren't stressed because we knew she would be here within that 30-minute window. We gave her that cushion. Always been that way all of my life, and it's never going to change. Let's just change us and our approach. And that's exactly what we did in our family. So I say that to say that what you're talking about, yes, it can be used in the workspace, but it could also be used in the family space and bring 100%. A lot of peace. Yeah, bring that peace that, you know, don't be so mad at your girl or your husband or whatever who's taking a longer time than you. Put in that cushion, like Lauren just said, and that way you have that flexibility to be able to, if you're already ready to go, at least now you have a few minutes to woosah for a second, take a breath, you know? And if that person isn't ready yet, you're not worried about it because you got that cushion. We're good to go, right? Yes. I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to start with yourself as a leader, because if you don't know this about yourself, then your perspective changes. Right. And new biases creep in areas where they don't need or they're not needed. Right.
Right.
And so if as a leader, you're not aware of this about yourself, how can you lead others effectively, especially those who are different from you, which seems to be the norm today.
Right. But you know what I love too, Lauren? I think this is a really good point that you're making as well, because what's happening a lot, at least what I've seen, especially when I was in corporate, is that if you're a great employee and you're doing really well and you're bringing in the sales or you're bringing in whatever it is the markers are, right? The KPIs. When you're doing all of that, somebody automatically thinks you're now ready for management. And they pop people into management positions with no skill sets. And it's not their fault. as an organization, for those of you who are listening that I know I have a lot of CEOs on here and stuff, you have to remember that these are human beings. You can't just expect them to be amazing at sales or, you know, whatever it is, outreach, whatever that is, customer service, and then pop them into this management position to manage other humans and expect them now to just shine. That's not going to happen. So to Lauren's point, it needs to start with you as that CEO or that leader that's about to put this person in management, but also give that person the tools they need to thrive. Because to your point, Lauren, right? Not all the time. I mean, it took me some time to stop and pause and say, hey, Neen, how do you become a better leader so that your team will follow you wherever you go, right? But so a lot of places do not give you those tools. They just don't. They kind of just throw you in that position. And then you quickly realize, A, you hate managing, but it's really not because you hate it. It's because you haven't been given the right skill sets to manage it properly. So I want to pivot that into your book, right? Because you have that book that you came out with, which is about cultural intelligence. It was Becoming the Change, right? The Power of Cultural Intelligence. So tell me a little bit about your book. Why you wrote this book, you know, how are you utilizing this book to impact the lives of others?
Great question, Neena. The book really came about as after a huge realization that I needed to look in the mirror, that I didn't know these things about myself, but were impacting my leadership practice in ways I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. And here I was, this, you know, this head of global HR for this global organization, and I'm someone who believes in service and achievement and growth, and not understanding the impact that this had on my leadership practice was making me fall short in many ways that I didn't realize until I learned about it. And what it did, it forced me to look in the mirror and really confront some things that I didn't even know existed.
Okay. Right.
Understand aspects of my identity that I had not connected with that were also influencing my cultural values and how they were seeping into these micro biases in my leadership practice that, you know, were not necessarily toxic, but weren't leadership worthy either.
Right.
And so when I stumbled upon cultural intelligence, which was as I was working on my master's 5 years ago, I remember thinking, if this is me who, you know, I am a service-oriented HR leader who seeks to help others and service others, who else is this happening to? And are they having the same reaction? It's so nuanced, yet so impactful and so profound that that it really did pique that interest in me. And funny thing is, the more people I told the story to, the more people encouraged me to write the story because people needed to understand how powerful this is. Yeah. To the point that I even, you know, it even helped me in my personal relationships, my relationship with my family. You mentioned your auntie earlier. All of a sudden, I wasn't taking things like that personally. Mm-hmm. I was understanding, I understood that they were nuances that were impacted by their culture and their lived experience. And it has nothing to do with me or my identity or anything in between.
So how are you utilizing that now? You know, the book and all of your experiences and all of your leadership that you've done, right, for these global organizations and all that. How are you using that today? Are you working with organizations? Are you working with individuals? Like, where did that take you on your journey?
Great question, which I didn't answer from before, I just realized. And what I liked about this process is that it helped me create a playbook, and it's called the Choice Playbook, right? And it's the choice because we all know that to be great leaders, we need to make a choice. It is a choice.
Yeah,
the choice you make day to day out. Cultural intelligence is great, it's powerful, but it's not a magic wand. You need to choose it, and you need to choose it daily. So I help organizations use this playbook to develop cultural intelligence in their leaders. I use it in my coaching practice, where it's become the core and the foundation for my coaching philosophy. This philosophy that, yes, we are multidimensional. Right? We are whole. But it takes a choice. It takes courage. It takes cultural humility. It takes openness, right? Openness to new experiences. It also takes integrating the knowledge, integrating what you're learning every single day, right? It takes curiosity. Curiosity about yourself, but curiosity about others.
Right.
And last but not least, empathy. Empathy does not grow overnight. It's something you choose. It is something you work and you activate day in, day out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And so are you doing this though with individuals or with organizations, or do you like, do you go out to companies? Like how do you, because I'm thinking about people who are listening. Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. So I do both. I work with companies who, through workshops or group coaching, develop these skills. And I use what I call the CQ code, where we embed the playbook to help organizations do that. And individually, I coach leaders at all levels.
Good.
Executives, senior level, mid-level, particularly the mid-level who needs the support more so than ever today. I kind of have a soft spot for that group, just having an HR background. But I work with both. And I also do keynote speeches on how, you know, people can utilize this for everyday life, really, from navigating relationships to giving feedback, whether it's to your employees or your husband. And so we do keynotes as well in educating people on how to do that.
Good. Oh, that's really, really good. I think this is a really great topic and a topic I haven't spoken about on the show yet. And so I think that you're on the forefront of a lot of education that needs to happen in this space, right? Because you, in just that conversation that we're having, I already have that respect and knowledge about the concept of giving people that cushion, that space, right? I was doing it subconsciously, right? When I told you about my aunt, and I did it with some of my team members, because I'm like, nope, that's just the way she is. I'm gonna navigate that personality and that relationship. But I never put a word to it. I never an action like, this is exactly why we are doing this. And I think that more people need that, Lauren, because a lot of organizations, especially nowadays, if people don't align with you immediately with your values, they're out. They're not like it used to be, where people used to stick around for 30 years. They're not sticking around for 30 years anymore. They are sticking around for a year, if that. And they want to make sure that they align with your values. But your value can also be shown in the way you treat others, right? So it might not be that every single thing on your mission statement or value aligns with them. But when you treat people like humans and you treat people like you care or have empathy or want to show up and actually meet those people where they are, that speaks a huge a positive in language on your behalf, right? This then tells them this is a safe space. And although that I might stay here for a little while, but that's okay. At least they connect. And that's important. Yes. It's not like it used to be. People used to work 40, 50 years, retire and die. That's not how it is anymore. We don't do that anymore, right?
No. And it's great how the younger generation is pushing for this, right?
Yeah.
But it's also important for us to learn, because they also need to learn. You know, we were taught certain values by our predecessors who paved the way for us to be here, right? Especially as, you know, especially as minority women, we have had many people who have paved the way for us, mentors along the way. And so, you know, the younger generation, yes, they're pushing for more of this, but at the same time, it helps us walk the walk
and
model this in the workplace.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I love our conversation. This was really, really good, Lauren. But before I let you go, though, I know that there are people who are on here who are either leaders or CEOs or managers or stuff that I'm sure can use this type of intelligence and this type of upliftment and this type of skill set, right? So tell us how they can contact you. Is there a website or social media or somewhere that they can, you know, contact you to connect with you?
Absolutely. You can go to laurenrosario.com. I'm very active on LinkedIn. Lauren Rosario is Maldonado is my LinkedIn tag. And you can also go to Cultura Global, cultura.global, where you can find more information about our services.
I love it.
And we can connect further.
That's awesome. Thank you for coming on and dealing with the tech issues and stuff like that.
Yes.
You're awesome and amazing. So thank you for being
here. Thank you,
and for giving us wisdom, because this is what this is about. You know, Straight Talk is about growing and challenging and transforming the way we think, the way we see things. And I think just in that little bit that you gave us in the beginning about the time is going to help a lot of people. So for me, even if it's just that little bit, guys, then it tells you that there's a lot more where Lauren is coming from. Right, Lauren? Go ahead, Lauren. Let them
That's
know.
That's right, Nina. That's right. There's, you know, this toolkit
so much
is
more.
Endless. It's
yeah.
endless.
Yes.
Multidimensional,
that's so good.
Just like you. And so it's full of nuggets of wisdom to help you navigate every single day challenges.
Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Nina. And thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Girl, please. Anytime. Anytime. We got to do this again. Hey, guys. Yes. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and Lauren. I told you she was amazing. I didn't lie. I didn't lie. I told you she was amazing. So make sure you guys really connect with her on her social media platforms, but also go to her website. I'm going to link all of her information below. I want to make sure that you guys connect with amazing human beings, and she is definitely one of them. And to bring up culture and growth and differences and management and leadership and all of that is really going to help us to propel forward. Because even if you're a person that maybe runs a small team, that team, I'm sure your goal is to expand and grow. So get the intelligence, get the wisdom, get the skill sets, get all of that in your toolbox right now so that you can be the effective leader we all know you can be. Thank you guys for hanging out. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, no sugar added. Until next time.